Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 137. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. In this week's episode, I have a jam-packed episode with lots of different topics because I have recently taken the last week or so off, had vacation from school last week, did a lot of R&R, just laid back for a while, have a bunch of different topics that I just want to bring up on the show today. Nothing in great detail, but I think these are topics that everybody will sort of be interested in. The first topic that I want to talk about today is if you have not seen The Umbrella Academy on Netflix, it is a must. I'm not going to give any spoilers to the show itself, but if you are a fan of, say, the Marvel Universe or DC Universe, this is a completely different spin on the superhero sort of genre, and is a TV series produced by Netflix. And basically, here's the premise that The Umbrella Academy is all about. So on one day in 1989, 43 infants are inexplicably born to random, unconnected women who showed no signs of pregnancy the day before. Seven are adopted by a billionaire industrialist, and he creates the Umbrella Academy and prepares his children to save the world. In their teenage years, their family sort of fractures and the team disbands. Fast forwarding to the present time, the six surviving members of the clan reunite upon hearing the news of the passing of the billionaire that adopted them. They must work together to solve a mystery surrounding their father's death, and with all of their mixed personalities and abilities, their family sort of strays again. On top of this, there is a threat that emerges of a global apocalypse, and the show is about learning about how to avoid this apocalypse, and can this team pull together and defeat whatever might be causing this. So this is a series based on a collection of comics and graphic novels, believe it or not, created by the lead singer Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance. The first episode just came out February 15th of this year, and it is on Netflix. It is written by Jeremy Slater and a lot of well-known executive producers. We just happened to catch the first couple of episodes just yesterday, and at first I had no idea what the show was even about, and I sort of went on IMDb and looked at the synopsis for the show, and I was a little bit weary of if this is actually going to be any good. I will say that the first 5 minutes of the show, I was checked out. I didn't want anything to do with the show. I was prepared to just let it go in one ear and out the other. However, the show has captivated my attention. It is filmed, let's say, in the same style as, the best way I can put it is X-Men meets The Dark Knight with a vibe of Logan and Wolverine's blood and gore. So the premise here, it's a very dark world, and the filming is incredible all the way through the first two episodes. It really is immersive, really makes you feel like you're there. And the acting is very solid as well. In the past with superhero TV series, it's really hard for me to get on the bandwagon, so to speak, because a lot of times the acting isn't really the greatest. In this case, it's all rock solid. Not going to spend a whole lot of time telling you what it's about. You just need to go see The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. I won't get into a whole lot of details of the show because I don't want to give any spoilers. So you know the premise, go watch it on Netflix. All right. Next up, with this past week off, I sort of came up with an idea of something that I wanted to work on. And a lot of times I talk about my successes on the show. This week I'm going to talk about a sort of failure that I've had this week. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to get Mac OS running in VirtualBox. And there are many tutorials that you can find online about how to do this. And some of them are current and tell you exactly how everything should be done, how to get Mac OS running up in VirtualBox. Now, I spent probably about, 10 or 15 minutes on this total. And then I kept getting distracted. So I've sort of given up for now. But for my go-to virtualization is VirtualBox. There are better platforms out there. I like VirtualBox because it does everything that I need. It's free. It's open source. And VirtualBox has always been a go-to tool for testing Linux distros for me and that type of thing. What I wanted to do is test my laptop and see if I could get Mac running on VirtualBox. And not necessarily to keep it up and running, just kind of as a project to do. And the first problem that I ran into, all of the details as far as setting it up seem really easy to do. There was a file on GitHub that I needed to download in order to support having Mac OS boot in VirtualBox. So I got that all running. And the problem that I keep running into is a permissions issue when downloading the Mac OS file. Now, there are some How-To Geek articles out there, and there's also an article on textviewer.com that tells you how to do this, and they provide links to an actual image that you can download, a VirtualBox image that you can download and set up very easily. The problem is it's a compressed file, and no matter where I download it to, I cannot extract the files. I haven't quite figured this out yet, but it's kind of going to be my project for the week, I think. I'm going to keep working on this. Not everything comes easy for me the first time around, but what I wanted to talk to you about in the meantime while I'm working on this is why would anybody want to virtualize things? Let's say you have a halfway decent computer lying around and you're running Windows on this computer. So number one, you can try things like setting up Linux on your computer, and you don't need to make any partitions on your disk. You don't need to threaten your Windows install at all. You can just try Linux. And so think of it as a computer inside a computer. You create a virtual hard drive that takes up a portion of your disk, kind of as a file, sort of. And then you can give it some resources, give it some RAM, give it a couple of cores for processing, and then you are up and running with your own Linux distro on your computer. Makes it safer for web browsing. You also could use it for banking, keeping your banking account secure, that type of thing. But there are more uses for it as well. Let's say you're on Windows 10 and you need some software to run that is only available on Windows 7. You can use VirtualBox, spin up a Windows 7 install, and run some old apps using VirtualBox. You can do things like access virus-infected data. So if you have a system set up in a virtual machine, you open the infected file and access the data that you need without compromising your system at all. So that would be something you could use VirtualBox for. And if that corrupt data was ever messed up your VirtualBox install, you can simply click and restore back to the previous VM snapshot, and you have completely cleaned out your the virus, and you now have a clean virtualized computer again. So that's one thing you can do with VirtualBox. You can test software, you can test upgrades, you can test new configurations. So say you want to test things out on your computer, but you're not sure how it's going to react. You can use VirtualBox to test. You can do things like back up entire operating systems. So because of the virtual OS, you're contained within a series of files. Backing it up is really simple, and you can move it back and forth to different machines if you'd like to. But just keep in mind that some OSs have copyright laws, and so creating copies is a legal issue for certain things, not so much for Linux, but if you're running Windows, definitely. Same thing goes for Mac. Usually the idea with Mac is it needs to be on Apple hardware, so that runs into some things as well. So just be wary of that. Now, you can also do things like create your own cloud computer. So if you're running around, you're not in your office, and you just want to access some files at home, you can use VirtualBox to do that. You'll need to make your IP address public in order to do that, in order to connect remotely. You have to configure your router in order to be able to access it. But once that's done, it's a pretty simple process. You can use VirtualBox or any VM software as a personal cloud computer. You can do things like run servers, test servers. You can set up your own type of servers, and you can even set up multiple servers if your computer is capable of doing this. You can set up multiple servers and sort of train yourself on how servers work, get them to speak to each other. You can back up your servers for emergency use, that type of thing. So it's pretty neat, all the different things that you can do with VirtualBox. If you haven't tried VirtualBox before, it's free. I think you go to virtualbox.org and you can pick it up there. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about to you all is MX Linux. Now, one of the listeners in the Discord room mentioned MX Linux to me about a week and a half ago. Now, MX Linux, I believe, is number 2 on DistroWatch currently and has grown in popularity over the last couple of years. It's what they call a midweight Linux operating system. It's based on Debian Stable and using components from Antix as well as additional software created by the MX community. Now, as I said in previous episode, in one of my previous episodes, I was talking about Linux Mint 19 XFCE. I've never really been a huge fan of XFCE. So as time went on, I wasn't really sure if my experiences was going to be that great with MX Linux. So it was something that I never really got to trying. I wasn't really sure if it was going to be something that I needed to use at all. So I kind of let it go by without really trying it a whole lot. And there was no reason for it other than my current setup works and I really haven't really distro hopped a whole lot. So I decided to give it a try. And I will say right off the bat that I had a little bit of trouble getting MX to boot up on my System 76 laptop. And that might be more of a System 76 thing than an MX Linux thing. But I did boot it on an old HP desktop and had a Intel Core i5 processor in it. And when I booted it up, the first thing I noticed is it would look very polished. It was very modern looking. It was very different than I'm used to as far as a Linux OS is concerned. They instead of having a taskbar on the bottom, it's on the left-hand side. But not like, say, Unity used to look with Ubuntu. This is just a taskbar on the left-hand side. And it sort of looked really nice. So my interest kind of peaked. And suddenly out of the blue, one of the things that I decided to do was just change the wallpaper, change the desktop background. And I do this a lot when I'm testing distros, just because I like to see what the artwork is. Well, as soon as I did that, I sort of had to do a double take, because I thought some of my images had from my other computer had gotten onto the live image, because I recognized a photo that was one of the default backgrounds. And the reason I recognized it is because this photo is from my hometown, and this photo is from a place that I work in the summertime. And if you don't know where I work at a major tourist attraction in the summertime. And there is a place called Rainbow Falls, which is a very large waterfall. It's about 65 to 70 feet high. One of the most well-known waterfalls in my area. Has a hydroelectric power dam behind it and on the right-hand side of it. And this tourist attraction gets customers from all over the world. So I recognize this image right away. And if you download the MX Linux live ISO file, you will see this as a default image. And this is the bridge that this picture was taken, is a bridge that I walk over every single day in the summertime. And I work probably, I'd say, about a mile and a half from that location downstream. And the idea that an image from somewhere that I actually know, it was quite surprising. And I've never had that come up before. I've never had that show up. And I oftentimes admire the artwork, or I admire the images that are taken. I have no idea where they have been taken. And so I contacted the MX Linux community. I went on their Facebook page. I sent them a couple of messages. I contacted them saying, hey, you know, I work at this place in the summertime. I'm just curious, you know, how it came to be that you chose this picture for your OS. And I kind of sent an email to some of the managers at the place that I work in the summertime. And I say, hey, check this out. I was just testing this Linux OS, and I found an image of our waterfall, and they thought it was the greatest thing. They really enjoyed it. They enjoyed the fact that somebody out there is creating a community-minded OS, and that they just happened to be at that spot and took the picture. Well, I never heard back from MX Linux. I never really heard anything more from them. I even posted a post on their Facebook page, which seemed to have vanished. So they may have taken it the wrong way. I don't really know why, but never heard anything back from them at all. But I did find that it was really cool that they did use it. And more often than not, when I do communicate with developers, I hear back from them very frequently. And now I think it's been over a week and a half. So I haven't really tried MX Linux since then, but there are things that I like about the project. And I don't want to speak and do a whole MX Linux review, because I haven't used it enough to give it an honest review. But the things that I like about it, it's Debian-based, makes it simple to use. So you have the Debian package base. You also have community repositories as well, based on Debian Stable. You have the option to use systemd if you want to, but there are other things that you can use, like sysv init that you can use as well. So the options are there to do whatever you'd like with it. MX Linux is fundamentally user-oriented. It does contain a certain amount of non-free software that assures the system works, but at the same time, very user friendly, very easy to use, very easy to install and try out. And because it's a mid-weight Linux distro, you probably could get this working in VirtualBox very easily if you wanted to try it out. So if you're looking for a project, you can go to mxlinux.org, download their current release, and then try it out and say something like VirtualBox. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of more details, because I did stop looking at MX Linux right before I went on vacation, and it's something I'm going to come back to in the future. I know a lot of other podcasts out there are doing more in detail reviews of MX Linux recently. That's another reason why I'm not going to get into it. But I do have to give them a shout out for having that image there. That definitely caught my eye, and for most other people, they wouldn't give it a second thought. So I believe if you're checking out the desktop backgrounds, it's one of the first ones right there. Big waterfall with a river coming towards you, and on the right-hand side, it's a cement building that's part of a hydroelectric power dam. And so that's really going to wrap things up for this week. As I get back into things, I'll have more for you next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time.